Why is it so important for artists, particularly young artists, to travel? The Brett Whiteley Travelling Arts Scholarship is now in its 16th year and has seen artists like Ben Quilty and Alan Jones, the artist, not the broadcaster, as recipients who go on to do some pretty terrific things. This year's winner is James Drinkwater, and he's already accustomed to the benefits travelling can bring an artist early in his or her career. He travelled for 3 years through Europe and Africa with his partner, the artist Lottie Consalvo. James, where did art start for you?
I think I showed an interest really early on, and Mum used that. There was four of us, and there were different ways to distract or occupy us, and that was the one she used for me. If you gave me a pen and a bit of paper, I was off.
Now, I read in an interview with you that one of the things you're most proud of is the fact that you decided to become an artist and have stuck with that through until, you know, we're speaking now. What made you want to make that decision and choose this life?
I think that was also really early, when I was about 5 or 6 or 4 or in that kind of bracket somewhere. And my auntie used to paint these gorgeous sort of landscapes around her kitchen table. And we'd all be running through the house and out the backyard with the cousins playing tips. And I just kept sort of pausing at what she was doing, and it flicked a switch for me and something happened. And then I'd hang with her, and she gave me a little spot at the table to paint. And that was the turning point. She had all these rich books and objects on this table, and I just love that intimacy, and that's carried out through into what I do now too.
You've spent a lot of your time as an artist travelling, which I'm really interested in talking about. Do you think it's important for an artist to travel?
Oh, I think in periods it is. I think especially an Australian artist, it's important to go overseas and expose yourself to museums and good works of art, and also all that colouring and different cultures, and bring that home and see how that informs you back in your own environment.
So you've been to all sorts of places, and I'm thinking specifically about Kenya and also about Germany. What took you to Africa?
Oh, a friend of ours in Melbourne runs an orphanage in a little village called Mangu. We were living in Berlin. We had been for the last 3 years, and we were coming to the end of that period looking at coming home to Australia, and we thought, let's do one last trip, and approached him at teaching art at the orphanage in the village, and he was just right onto it. So we went there for 6 weeks. It was fabulous. It was kind of this really nice full stop to that 3 years away.
What do you do when you're teaching art to young African kids? How does that play out?
It was strange. I'd never taught. We had to really loosen them up. We had to throw out the rulers and the compasses and the lead pencils and introduce colour and crayons and paint and liberate them from a rigid kind of scholastic environment. It sort of turned into a beast. Within the villages around, word got around that we were teaching. This is with Lottie, my partner. By the end of it, we were teaching 5 days a week and gallivanting on backs of trucks and motorbikes with tins of paint falling out the side, and it was a magical, magical period. But in our spare time, we produced a big body of work each. I made a lot of site-specific assemblages and drawings in work, sort of village work sites and in Nairobi, and it was a very, very colourful, productive, emotionally charged period.
So what was it that you got out of that time? You mentioned the types of art that you were creating while you were there. What kinds of things, I guess, did you learn that you didn't know before when you were in Africa that have informed your work?
It was the cacophony of imagery and colour and energy. It's such an enterprising place. It's full pelt, really fast-paced. Trying to actually harness that energy and put it back into paintings, I didn't succeed at first. I had a show after that called The Ocean Parade. I don't think I handled all that information and all that energy as well as I could have. I think I'm starting to process that properly now. The works on paper were kind of okay. They could handle all the information and mark making, but the larger oils, there was no entry point. They were too dense. But in that sense, they were true to the experience.
Right.
But they weren't overly popular.
Right. You're listening to Weekend Arts, and my guest is the artist James Drinkwater. James has just won the Brett Whiteley Travelling Arts Scholarship, and we're talking about travel and James's adventures both in Africa and in Germany. So you spent a few years in Berlin, James.
Yeah.
What was the pull of Berlin?
I'll rewind. I was doing art up until I was about 20, then I joined a band in Newcastle and we moved to Melbourne, and that's where I met Lottie. We were kind of in our sixth year of playing around Melbourne and Victoria, and I just felt like I was spreading myself too thinly with art and music, and I really needed to make a decision, one or the other. The lifestyle of a painter really just kept drawing me in, and I was flicking through an art almanac magazine and I saw this little black and white house to let in Umbria, black and white photo, and I said, Lottie, let's go. And she said, well, you can't, you know, you're in this band and that's your commitment. And I sort of had a torturous week and decided, no, I really want to go to Italy. That little photo was just a catalyst to kind of break out and make a change. We got to this little tiny town in Umbria in an old 16th century farmhouse, and which was very seductive and romantic for the first sort of week. And then we went, gosh, we may as well be in Maitland, Australia. So very quickly we moved on and just started travelling through Italy and Europe and Paris and London, looking for somewhere to live. On all different modes of public transport, people kept saying, you too would love Berlin, you should go to Berlin. And I'd never heard of it as an attraction for an artist, as a melting pot. But we got there late one autumn evening, and the city just had its arms wide open. It just felt really nice and really welcoming and just like home. And then, you know, we were there for 3 years.
What's the scene like there that you became involved with?
Really vibrant. There are a lot of people just hanging out, drinking coffee and beer in the park, which is great as well. But for Lottie and I, it was really, really our apprenticeship. It's really where we cut our teeth, and we got a flat. The bedroom was her studio, the other room was my studio, and we just pumped in there 7 days a week. So we really defined our practice and our language. And for us, it was a place to work, not so much to exhibit. Right. So I was sending boxes of work back to Redfern, to Damien Minton Gallery. That was sustaining us.
What did that give to your painting now that you're back here in Australia?
I think it was that discipline. One of the main things was it was really affordable and it was really possible to go there and live on very little but be full-time artists and not work other jobs. So that was the first time I'd done that. And that accessibility to museums and really important works of art, that was the defining thing. And to bring that and apply it back into real life, for want of a better word, in Australia.
So you're back in real life now and you're living and you and your partner Lottie are based in Newcastle. Mm. What kind of a place is Newcastle for an artist?
For me, it's wonderful. I've always admired those artists that operate outside of the cities and operate in the regional centres, whether it's Henry Moore or Adam Cullen, because you can really operate and get a lot done without all those financial burdens and stresses. I think if I was in Sydney, I'd be working a couple of jobs to pay for the studio that I would hardly be in. Mm. Whereas in Newcastle, there's so much space and freedom, and it's kind of crappy, but it's kind of on the up as well. It's a really exciting time to be there. It's a nice shift.
The Brett Whiteley Travelling Art Scholarship, you've just won, and, you know, you're travelling in some pretty great footsteps. I think Ben Quilty was one of the first winners of the scholarship. What are your plans for the Paris leg of this scholarship?
I'm interested to see what happens to me there, and I'm just leaving that really open. Whenever I go to a new place, if I respond to it, I get intoxicated and seduced, and I sort of turn it into this romantic, film-like thing, which it may or may not be, and I create a dialogue with that environment, and then that informs the next series. So I'm interested to see what happens to me in Paris, how I respond to the culture, the cuisine, the sensibilities, and how we as a family, Lottie and Vincenzo, and how we operate there, the intimacy in the apartment, how our life overlaps the art practice, and all that stuff that goes in.
James, good luck. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
That's artist James Drinkwater, and if you'd like to check out some of James's work, do go to our website or to James's website, which is jamesfrancisdrinkwater.wordpress.com.